continuing in our sermon series on the I Am statements of Jesus. So we're looking at Jesus telling the world who he is in his own words. And this week we'll be looking at John chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 17. And the I Am statement for this week is, I am the true vine. I don't know if there's any master gardeners in here. I don't know too much about growing flowers or anything like that, but I have heard about grafting roses into different kinds of bushes. So as you graft roses into a bush, they begin to grow until you finally have a rose bush that has maybe many different colors of roses, and it can create a beautiful new bush. We as believers are a part of a bigger group than we think. And as Gentiles, we have been grafted into the people of God. And so when we start thinking about the church, it's much broader and I believe much more beautiful because it includes people of all different kinds and backgrounds. Something that enlightened me a little bit more to this, this was a trip to London that Jenny and I took, and we went and we did street evangelism. But before we went out and did street evangelism, we met as a group with other believers from different places all over the world who came together to do this one thing, and we prayed together. And it was so neat to see all these different people from different backgrounds praying together in a completely different country than where I am. And so it helped me to realize that God's church is much bigger than I've ever understood before. And so today we're going to be looking at Jesus speaking of him being the foundation of that church as the true vine. So let's look now at John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And this is the word of the Lord. And praise be to God. The first thing that I want to draw out of this passage is that destruction is real. A lot of pastors, they shrink away from the truth that hell exists, that God's wrath needs to be satisfied against those who sin against him. You know, it's not something that we all want to dig into, Because truly, if we understand who we are, we understand that God does not have to accept us. In fact, all those who reject Him and turn away from Him deserve His punishment. And at some point in our lives, we fall into that category. Every last one of us. God's wrath must be satisfied. So, without a mediator, without somebody to stand between us and Him, we're doomed. We're doomed. Hell is a real place. In verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. It's there. It's in Scripture. You can't run from it. But you can learn from it. Christ says, abide in me. We have to recognize who we are. We have to turn from our wicked ways. I had a pastor friend that used to like to say, if you have given birth, you have given birth to a dirty, rotten little sinner. You have. There's not one of us that has been without sin. And our children are included in that category. And it's important to teach them that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. We ask that question to our members. And we say, do you recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? And yes, we all are. We are destined for destruction. We are destined for the wrath of God. So many have lost the sight of this. And in this time, the Jewish people had lost sight of the fact that God's wrath is real for those who sin. And a lot of people were caught up in their self-righteousness, thinking that they could replace God's mediator, they could replace God's Savior in their own lives by living a good enough life to force God's hand into love for them. And they fall into that category of deserving God's wrath. And then when they're faced with the truth that Jesus is teaching, instead of listening and taking it to heart, what do? They seek to destroy Him. They start to seek to kill Him. They thought that they had exclusive rights to God as well. They did not abide in Him. They abide in themselves and their ability to be good. But we are called to abide in Him. He says that a lot in this passage. Verses 4 and 5, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We have been selected by him to do his work. We have been called to abide in him. We're going to talk a little bit more about what that means. But if you look, he says, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. You know, so when we were talking about that self-righteousness, this motivation to promote yourself, what he is saying is that apart from me, you are building up nothing eternal. You are building up nothing eternal. You are building up a kingdom for yourself here on earth, and that will return to you void. And so, he says, abide in me. We've been chosen by him. And the only reason we are able to be counted among the branches is because he chose us and he grafted us in. See, the vine and the original branches was God's people, the nation of Israel. But he is saying that those from the nation of Israel that do not bear fruit, they're going to be cut off. Right? But we're among the branches on the vine. But the only reason we are is because God said, through the seed of Abraham, that I will bless the nations. And he sent his disciples into the world to preach to the Gentiles, and we are now counted among that number of people that are a part of his kingdom. In Romans 11, verses 17 through 21, it says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are remembered, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you." There is a warning in that passage as well. Do not boast of your goodness. Do not boast over others that you were chosen. But abide in him. Don't try to build up your name. Don't seek after selfish things. Build up the name of the one that supports you, which is the vine, Jesus, the true vine. So don't boast, because it's not of your own works that you have been saved. It is by the works of Christ. It's by the works of Christ on your behalf. Jesus went to the cross, and when he did that, what happened? Well, he fully absorbed the wrath of God. He took on the wrath of God in your place so that when you stand before God, you are not seen as guilty sinners. You are not. And the reason is because Christ paid the price. He died on the cross so that you could have salvation. He did that for you. Not because you deserved it, but because he loves you. And he wants you, because of that love, to abide in him. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Abide in me. Do my commandments. Live a life that I've taught you to live. There are people that do wonderful things in this world. There are a lot of people that do wonderful things in this world, but they do them with the wrong motivation. And if you are doing good things in this world with the wrong motivation, you are not creating for you an eternal existence. If you are selfishly doing things to get notoriety, to get the pat on the back, to get people to talk about you, you are doing it for the wrong purpose. And Christ enables us to do good things with the right motivation. He indwells us through the Holy Spirit. And then he gives us the power to do things for his glory, not our own. To abide in him is to allow him to be the center of your life, to give your loyalty and obedience to him so that you know that he is getting all the glory. You have to shrink and let him grow. There was a family in the church where we served in Vicksburg, and they gave a gift to the church in honor of the husband and father of some of the members of the family. The pastor shared with me that we have this beautiful piece of furniture in our church, and it has a plaque on it with this man's name. And this man was a very wealthy member of the community, but from what the pastor said, he was a horrible person. Right? He did everything to promote himself, including having his name put on a piece of furniture at the church as if that gained him something. His instructions were to use my money to continue my reputation. He never attended church. He bore no fruits other than promoting his own name. When we do things selfishly, they have no eternal value. None. So when we surrender to Christ and to God with our obedience and work good for him and make his name known, we abide in him. Verses 13 through 14 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus made a sacrifice for you. No greater love does anyone have than to lay down his life for his friends. And what did Jesus do? He went to the cross for his friends. He said, "I am going to make the ultimate sacrifice so that you can come to know the love of God." And he has called us to live as he did, sacrificially for others. That's what abiding in him is. Not every one of us will be martyred like the disciples, right? But that was a devotion that was shown to God that we should glory at. The fact that they would go and teach and take the word to the world, knowing that they were going to be killed because of their faith in Christ. How do we demonstrate our devotion? Well, we need to lay aside our selfish gain for others. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, it's the Great Commission. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Obey him and you will bear fruit." And that brings eternal consequence. You will have eternal life if you have surrendered your life to him. If you have given him your devotion, he is saying you will have eternal reward. Not because you earned it, but because he gives it to you freely. Obey him. What are his commandments? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor. That's hard to do. It is. It's extremely hard to do, especially in today's society where we put up fences and we don't ever venture outside because we're worried our kids are going to be kidnapped and fun stuff like that, right? No. God calls us to love our neighbor. And that extends to the corners of the earth. That extends to people that we don't like. God has called us to love our neighbor. Now, he said, if they spit in your face, you know, you can wipe the dust of that town off your feet. But he does still tell us to go and to make disciples. Love others sacrificially as Christ did. Give till it hurts to point others to him. He has chosen you to do this, so do it with a joyful spirit, because without him, the wrath of God would not be withheld. I think of Passover when I start thinking about the wrath of God. In the Passover, what happened? The people of God were in bondage. And God sent plagues against the nation of Egypt. And the last plague he sent was death to the first sons of the nation of Egypt. But death would pass over your house if you put the blood on the doorposts of your home. The shed blood of a lamb was applied to the posts of the homes of all those who believed, and death passed them over. God's wrath passed them over. So think of your heart as the doorposts. Apply Christ's blood to yourself and pray God's mercy so that His wrath will pass you over. Accept Him as your Savior. Know what He has done on your behalf and abide in Him. Amen.